Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the sower. So, a lot of books, a lot of messages on the parable of the sower. Parable of dirt. Matthew 13, verse 2, brought this out last Sunday. I said a great multitude were gathered together unto him. He was in the ship there. And he sat and began to preach, and they stood on the shore. And I said then that I felt like that this message was a parable to them, knowing that some would understand it and some wouldn't. And I thought as he looked there that he was addressing that. He saw all types of that soil like you would do in any congregation. And we'll bring out some things as we go that makes this message a little more, I think we need to take it a little more serious sometimes as grace people, as we find out what this soil is all about and what the seed especially is. But here it says, verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in a parable, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And here our Lord is that sower. I think, like I said, I think he's that preacher on that ship looking at those types of soil being in that multitude. But there's a larger application. It doesn't end. It expands from the preacher to preachers thence, from then on. The sower primarily, I think, is in the bigger application, is a preacher. But it can be others. It can be others. It can be a Bible teacher. It can be a father or mother giving devotions at night. It can be a school teacher talking to his students about our Lord. It can be, I mean, we can all be sowers. But the one thing in common always is the seed. The seed is always, the seed is the gospel, the seed is the word. Seed never changes. If you're sowing something other than the seed, you're sowing the wrong thing. Why do I say that? Because the preacher, the sower, doesn't make his seed. Now, some do, but the true sower doesn't make his seed. It's given to him by the Master. And like I said, it's the only seed. It will forever be the only seed. And the sower approaches the Master. How does he approach? By prayer. And if you're any sower at all, your first approach to the Master when you go get your seed is, Lord, teach me first. Teach me and that I can teach others. Teach me and I'll sow. And then that sower goes in Christ's name with Christ's message, the gospel, the seed. Now, he don't know. The sower doesn't know where the best soil is. If he did, he'd just stay there and plant it. He'd plant the same spot every year. If I knew the right key for good tomatoes, I'd mix that ingredient up every year. Tony, but you experiment every year, don't you? So if the sower knew where the best soil was, he'd just stay there. But he don't know. He don't know. He sows the seed. And that's what we do. You know, we got very little dirt here this morning. But you got to go get up and sow the seed, don't you? The Scripture tells the sower to preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what we do. We come every Sunday, and whoever's here, we have the same message. I can't look out there and have a stack of messages down here and pull that one out and say, let's go with this one. You go with what you prayed the Master would give you during the week. And that's how you go. The outcome is with the Lord, isn't it? With the Master. And because the Master alone knows the outcome, The sower is not responsible for the harvest. I've got one job. You've got one job as a parent. You've got one job as a teachers to your students and witness to them. You got one job, and that's to sow the seed. To sow the seed. What's done with it is up to a sovereign God. We just put it out there. We don't water it down. We don't whittle it down. We don't mix it with things. We throw out the pure seed and leave it with the master for the harvest. The sower's responsibility is this, though. The integrity, the fidelity, and the care of the seed. Like I just said, don't compromise the seed. Take care of the seed. Take care of the gospel. Honor the gospel. And take care of how you scatter it. Don't waste it. It's precious. Gospel's precious. And should nothing ever sprout, the sower's done his duty, hadn't he? And he'll still be rewarded by his master. Not just the pastor, but the mom and dad who gave their life for the care of their kids and grandkids and sharing the gospel with them at every opportunity. Every time it's concerned work people, you're not responsible for the harvest. And you'll not be held accountable. And the sower is not responsible for the character of the hearer. It's not for me to prepare how you come in here this morning. That's between you and God. We preach whether men hear us or don't hear us. And that's what he said in verse 9 of this chapter. We talked about, if you have those ears to hear, you've got to... And eyes to see, you've got a valuable commodity, haven't you? All right, let's look at this first piece of ground, verse 4. And when he sowed, the sower, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And then look at verse 19. And this is the description of that wayside hearer. He said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now generally, this is there's a general description of this wayside here, then a more specific description for us in this assembly or any grace assembly. But generally, some of those, we have folks... Each of you have brought a friend or a relative or asked a friend or a relative to come, and they just show up on a whim. It surprises you sometimes. You look out there and say, hey, that's so-and-so. He or she came to church today. Just on a whim. Don't know what brought them. We don't ask. We're just glad they're here. But you never know what brought them in here. So you never really know the reason. Sometimes you think, uh-oh, what in the world's happened? He showed up at church. But they come in, they sit, they talk afterwards, they go home. You say, well, nothing happened. Why'd they come? They didn't come for a blessing. Because if you stood where I stand and looked out, sometimes you'd see, it's like, I'm thinking, what in the world are they doing here? So they didn't come for a blessing. They're like a highway out. They're like Post Road out here. Post Road was never intended to be a cornfield. Oh, Frank Strickland up here, up Highway 166, he had old Sammy, had cars, old junk cars in his, right up to his house for years and years and years. Well, several years ago, we got rid of all of them, started plowing it up and trying to have a garden there. And it sprouted up, and I thought, what does he expect? I mean, that, nothing there but oil and gas and car parts, you know, and... But that's you know, it's just not intended to be, and that's how the souls, you gotta own it. Some men will never hear, even though they may come to church. They may never, probably will not ever hear the gospel. Now they may, if you present it well enough, and they have some respect for whoever it is presenting it to them, they may briefly may enter and they may think about it just briefly, but they're not going to understand it. They'll never understand it. And like I say, it may sit there, may lodge for an afternoon, maybe. Probably not that long. Because in general, when they pull out of that parking lot there, there's too much traffic in here. Too much other traffic for that seed to ever take a root. The first thing is the road is packed with is Satan. It's Satan, his armor. Remember his armor I talked about a few weeks ago? The lust and the vanity and the lies that Satan presents to you. Well, that's the base for the road out there, the wayside. That's but there's all kind of vehicles then go up and down that road. Pride and money and cares and hobbies, all of those vehicles are up and down that road, aren't they? They just keep packing the road that Satan's already beat down. So it's an extremely crowded road in this fellow's soul. And then you got the more specific group. And when we say the more specific group, you've got to remember, it never struck me until I studied it this time, this seed is the gospel. So you can't apply this message in every church assembly. Because there's a lot of assemblies out there who will not preach anywhere near the gospel today. Nowhere near it. So you got to be more specific. That's what makes it a little, one of those things, you better listen. You need to listen. Because some wayside, not only beat down by the feet of evil men, talk about these grace churches all around us. People that attend them and then go about their business as soon as they leave. But so they hear some of these wayside hearers will hear a good sermon. So it's not just evil men that beat it down. They hear a good sermon Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And then what did Dad used to call that? He said it was gospel hardening. They get used to it. They just get used to that message. And then it has no effect on them. They come in here, hear the good seed, and they leave, and it has no effect. Hard, hard. So it's not just the evil that does it. It could be gospel hardened. Good saints can pack that wayside down. But the question has always been in most of our minds, why do they come? Why do they come if the word is never made useful to them? It never enters their heart. There's some you may know, not may know them in another place, who just they never miss a Sunday. Very seldom miss a Sunday. And they seem very happy to be here. Or there, wherever they are, hearing the gospel. But if you watch, fear, nor tear, nor joy, nor sadness ever shows on their face. It's just blank. Just stoic. Just unmoved. What's that? That's a hard road, isn't it? That's just a hard, packed road. They're not irreverent people, but they're not religious folks either. These are what those that the gospel shine. I'm talking about this more specific group. I'm not talking about this general group now that comes in on a whim and never comes back. Or may come back once every 6 months. But this group, the son of the gospel shines on their face, just full in their face. Yet they never squint. They're blind to it. Never see light. They listen well, but never hear. These are they that will stand at Heaven's gate, they're right there at that narrow way, but they never enter it. Never step in. Mercy's door and never touch the handle. The beauty of Christ and His blood and His sacrifice just flows in your face and you're never moved. You're indifferent to it. And I think a lot of the time, the thoughts of these wayside hearers is, if I'm lost, then I'm lost. And I'll forever be lost. But if I'm saved, then I'll be saved. And it leaves with this question, is there any hope for a wayside hearer? God only knows. I think there is, or he wouldn't have given us this parable. Because once again, we're talking about good seed, the gospel. But don't take it for granted. Don't wind up like the man in Hebrews 6 who was so enlightened and then he forsook all and then there was no hope for him. And there's the second piece of ground, the stony ground. Look at verse 5 and 6. It says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then look at verse 20 and 21. It describes this stone. He said, he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy just in a moment receiveth it. Yet hath no root, he hath not root in himself, endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, the seed, by and by he is offended, goes away, the other passages tells us. These are those, so short, that the gospel, we've seen these, the gospel has a short, temporary impression on them. They're saved within two or three visits. I mean, and it appears genuine. They're happy. Happy. Have good, warm feelings, good resolutions, and it fools every one of the people. We all say, wow, that was quick, but it sure looks real. But once again, the problem is there is no root. I mean, it may sprout a root more than the wayside could, more than that road can, but no deep root. You may see this group move to tears and talk. I'm talking about, I've seen it talk in earnest of the conflicts and the struggles and the fears that they went through coming to Christ. And like I said, it all sounds good. Sounds great. Yet, quickly, about as quickly as it came, you begin to see instability. They're not careless. They're not inattentive. They love the sermon. They do. They love the sermon. Have got no. Once again, we're talking about folks who are hearing the gospel. Keep that in mind. This is not just any church anywhere. This, the Lord's talking about those who hear the good word of the gospel. They love the sermon, but there's no sign of grace. This Ezekiel describes them over in Ezekiel 33. Let me read that to you. Ezekiel 33:32. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do not do them. They love, they no problem with the sermon. They'll amen it all the way through. No issues with it. Something's missing, though. What's missing? Self. Self will somehow, there is no giving up of self. They still want to hold on to those self things. And I'm not going to catalog self, because that gets you in trouble, but whatever those self things are, those other attractions, absorbs the moisture of the message. Whatever is that rock absorbs the moisture of the message. Like I say, they're not careless, they're just not sold on what is their obligation, their duty. And as long as you care for them, they'll live. but they'll never produce. What do you say about care for them? Well, as long as, you know, well, they miss, let's call them. And let's brag on them. Let's coddle them. As long as you keep doing that. I had in my garden a few years ago, I had two spots that I put squash in. And it would grow, but then it would just die. Just die. And I thought, what in the world? So one year, I hooked up my big plow and I just went and I found it. It was a huge rock. Huge rock. Down below where the root would have normally been. But what caused it? Well, the moisture went to that rock. Wasn't that the root hit the rock and quit? Never got close to the rock. The moisture hit it. But as long as I could care for it, I could mulch it, you know, keep hay around it and just coddle that plant, and it would stay alive, but it never had any fruit, never bloomed. Got the rock out and everything's fine down through there now. But that's how these stony ground hares are. As long as you coddle them, they'll hang around. But you leave them alone and they'll die. Flowers, you cut flowers, and they'll die with no root, won't they? Now, you cut them and you throw them out there on the ground and they'll start withering in just hours. You put them in some water and they'll live a little longer, coddle them a little more. You sprinkle that powder in the jar with the water and they'll live a little longer. But at some point, they're going to die. Why? Because there's no root. Nothing there. Like I said, they're not careless. They're not inattentive. They're not like the wayside here. They're hearing. They're hearing some things, but other things are absorbing what they're hearing. And they so often think, I'm okay because I do like that message. I do agree with that message. But what proves everything? Time proves everything, don't it? And sometimes it takes, like I say, depends on how long you coddle. But time will eventually show up. Time proves everything. And time will prove these. They're not put in the fire yet. It's temporary impressions is what you got to be aware of. You know, God gave us feelings. And we don't base our feelings on our salvation. That's dangerous. That's what Luther said out there. Feelings come, feelings go, and they're deceiving. What is our hope? This word, this seed. But God gave us feelings and emotions. And sometimes these stony ground here, as long as you're digging around and sort of prepping up those feelings and those emotions, Their whole idea of salvation is based, I still feel, I still like that message, I still feel, but by and by, something, old habits will start to creep in, old desires, old friends, something will come along, and over time, it'll out moisture, it'll absorb whatever feeling, and they'll go that direction. Understand? All right, let's look at this thorny ground, this here, verse 7. And some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And in verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, here's the danger of, it seems a progression of dangers, a progression of religion. And this is the most dangerous, I think, the thorny ground. These folks are not against the gospel at all. I mean, every single thing you say, they will tell you is the truth. Even if they leave. They'll say, that preacher always preached the truth. They never deny that the seed is the pure gospel. It's the truth. But neither are they firm nor steady in their convictions. They sort of sway. They love the gospel of grace, but they don't really have any firm, steady convictions outside of here. They're not irreverent. This group's not irreverent either. Nor are they set to stand with Christ. They're just sort of in the middle. In the middle. They seem to me set to accomplish what the Lord talks about over here in Matthew 6. This is that group in a nutshell. Even though the Lord says you can't do these, Matthew 6:24, He says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," which is not money, it's pleasure. Whatever attracts you, you can't serve God in whatever your idol is. But I think this group of people are convinced maybe you can. And that's what they try to do. They try to hold on to this and hold on to this out here. They want, if possible, the best of both worlds. God and the things of God have some claim on their time, but only on their spare time. God's on their hearts and their minds in whatever space is not occupied by everything else, not influenced by more important things. Things of Christ are not begrudged by this group, but certainly it's not, they won't let it interfere. Something else comes along, they'll do that. It's just not going to interfere with bigger plans, whether they're short-term or long-term. Typically, the short-term sadly becomes the long-term. They're not like that shallow soil where they instantly receive it and wither away. They're not like that at all. They hold it. It grows. It grows along. It's good soil. I've got a place over there. It's a place in Alabama that those horses love. They love it. It must be the best soil over there because they'll eat and eat and eat. But what happens if I don't keep that area sprayed is those old briars and cuckaburros will grow up, and there you can tell they've been down in there because their mane and forelocks just full of that stuff. But it tells me, Steve, that there's good grass, or they wouldn't keep going back there. But over time, by midsummer or so, by now though, that area is taken over, and there is no grass down there. But they tell on themselves. They come back with signs of where they've been, sort of like you do. So like a kid does, you sort of tell on yourself, been there. But these thorny ground hairs are the same way. They just can't let go of those thorns and kookaburras. They want to hold on to it. And they hold it and then hold it and they hold the truth and they hold what they want. But over time, the kookaburras outgrow it. The worldly pleasures will become too heavy. They're not going to let it go. And they realize at some point, I got to make a choice. I have to make a choice. Well, if they have nothing spiritual inside, we know what choice they're going to make, don't we? They're not going to take the hard road and make the tough choice. They're going to go with where their pleasure is. They're going to go with what their face tells on them. That's the direction they're going to go. And they fall away. They just, finally, it may be years and years and years, but finally, they fall away. The world got them. The world got them. Here's another thing. They understood, how many that have fallen away understood this very message. I told you before, this message has been preached in Grace churches thousands of times. And those, we have them that have been forever gone and heard this message time and time again. They understood it. They understood it up here. But they didn't, out there, outweighed the choice that had to be made. Remember last week, responsibility? Well, they had their free will and they took it. And there, where are they? They understood all that was said. They understood grace. They understood the message of faith. They understood the message of hope. They understood the message of substitution. They understood all of those things. That's what I'm talking about with Hebrews. They took it in, but they spit it out. They didn't swallow it. They tasted it, but they didn't swallow it. They tasted it long enough to spit it. Everything else outweighed it, and they're gone. And they went after whatever now is. They went after now, and whatever it is where they went. They went to now. Self-indulgence. Well, you got a choice. You can indulge now and face misery later, or you can take the side of God. You can have pleasures on earth for a little while, or you can have pleasures in heaven. And these folks knew that. But because heaven and grace and Christ are the least real things in their soul, to them, they just decide to choose right now. We just choose right now. You remember Moses? Remember that passage in Moses where it says Moses chose the suffering of Christ and the gospel more than the pleasures of Egypt for a while? For a moment? Well, that's what worlds of folks choose. Worlds of folks choose opposite of what Moses chose. All right, here's Moses right here, the good ground. Look at, get back over to the text. Verse 8, but the other fell into good ground and brought forth much fruit, and hundreds, some 60, some 30. And then in verse number 21, he received seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, heareth and understands, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. The good ground. It's good, but not good by nature, is it? Who made that ground good? God made it good. God plowed that ground. Good by grace, good by mercy, isn't it? God, good by yourself, not good by anything you did. God plowed it so the seed of the gospel sinks way down in there. Sinks way down. Takes good root. And it produces, what does it produce? Well, it produces practical and real results. It produces them in their faith and in their practice. It's not just a profession to a good ground here. It's a way of life. It becomes a way of life. Now look, we're not talking about every one of us sometime this week are going to, when I was studying this message, I questioned times that I feel like each one of these other three souls. I do. So it's not those things. We're talking about, you know, like you know, it's rivers, you know, it's not a straight line to the sea, but it gets to the sea, don't it? That's what we're talking about. So don't leave thinking I didn't feel like I should feel. We're talking about your way of life, your overall way of life. What is your, that psalm I read a while ago, Psalm 100. I mean, how did you receive that psalm? When it said, make a joyful noise to the Lord all your land. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Not because you have to. Is your general tenor of serving with gladness. Come before His presence. Not here. Do you wake up every morning in His presence with joy? Is His presence always with you? If He's just with you here on Sunday morning, then you're one of these three grounds I'm talking about. But is His presence always with you? Do you know He's God? Do you know that the Lord is God? Those don't read that psalm. And that, if that's your general way of life, then you've probably been planted in some good soil. These folks, they hear and they continue to hear. That's the fruit. You're not talking about, you know, you've heard this preached by some of these preachers, go out and win 100 souls or 60 souls or whatever. They make their catalogs of things. It's not it. It's your actions, your spiritual actions, they continue. You repent, you believe, you obey, and then you do that again. You repent, you believe, and you obey. And none of that's for show. None of, we don't ask for rededication times. It's every day. You repent, you believe, and you obey. Your heart hates and avoids evil. When it comes in contact with it, you repent, believe, and obey. Your heart loves and follows Christ. It obeys Christ to the best of its ability. And you pray for what was flawed. That's good ground. That's solid ground. Let me leave you with this. Responsibility of the hearers of the gospel. We all have responsibility. I have, when I'm studying, I still have that same responsibility. When Steve or Jason come up or somebody comes up, I still have, hear the gospel. I have, that's my responsibility. Four ways, four souls. There's only one right soul. Three other kinds will damn your soul, period. It will damn your soul, period. How many of these three souls are found in every grace congregation? Like I've said 1,000 times, well, what goes on out there where the gospel's not preached? I care, but I can't do anything. What goes on where the gospel's preached? These three souls are in every grace congregation. Only one class hears right in God's sight. Only one class. What class are we? How are we hearing the word? Okay, Steve, come on. I tell you what, we just take about 5 minutes and come back in here.